Good morning and welcome back to Nachyami. Today we are going to be learning together Mizmor Kuf Lamed Gimel, the 133rd Psalm of the Book of Tehillim. This is a very short Mizmor. It is only three psukim long, constituting one of the second shortest Mizmorim in Tehillim. It is the 14th and penultimate of the 15 Shirah Ma'alos. And thinking about the theme is really harmony and happiness. There are many images which are projected in this Mizmor. So for instance, we have images of happiness, of plenty, of oil upon the head coming down onto the beard, the Aaron, the high priest, in his clothes, Mount Hermon covered with dew, and the mountains of Zion surrounded by the divine presence. Lots of different images. What is the main theme? How do all these ideas string together onto one string? So the Da'at Mikra Rav Amos Chacham suggests, and that this seems to be the most basic idea of putting this together, is that there are two things being expressed over here, and they are unity and prosperity. On the one hand, we're talking about the Olei Regolim, who are coming up to the Migdash and reflecting on all the good in their lives, which is represented in this oil, whether the oil means the happiness of all the tribes together, the purity of being in Yerushalayim, the prayer and hope for good rain. The framework is unity and prosperity being connected. And it's almost as if the prosperity is dependent upon the unity. If we can have Hinema Tov Umanoim Sheves Achim Gam Meyachad, if we can have the goodness of brothers who are dwelling together, then we're going to have the Tal Chermon Shiren Al Har Tzaharei Tzion. We're going to have the goodness, we're going to have the Tal Chermon, which is going to come down upon the mountains of Zion itself. This leads us to an important question, and that is why is it that Aaron is singled out? Why is he seen as this image of unity and prosperity? So there are possibly a few reasons as to why Aaron is chosen to distinguish and to represent unity. Number one is that he wore the Urim V'Tumim. He wore the breastplate upon his chest, in which all the 12 names of the Shvatim, of the different tribes, were emblazoned, were engraved. Which means to say that he represented this cohesion of all of the nation of Israel. As we know, the Mishnah in Avos tells us that he was an Ohev Shalom and a Roidev Shalom. He was a person who loved peace and a person who pursued peace. So he's this image of peace. And finally, also, he was the first facilitator of Birkas Kohanim, which is, as it brings the nation of Israel together, we know that Birkas Kohanim, the bracha is ba'ahava, is in love, and a Kohen who doesn't agree get along with certain people cannot do Birkas Kohanim. A Kohen has to be a person who unites people, and that's the image that is being given in this Mizmor to what unity is supposed to look like. It is also worthwhile noting that this could be a continuation of the previous Mizmor, in the sense that it seems like the place in which this unity occurs is, in fact, Yerushalayim. And that was the notion of the previous Mizmor, which was that David HaMelech was able to search out, find, conquer, and create the space in Yerushalayim for harmony, for Yerushalayim to be the capital, to be the place where all spirituality flowed from. And so therefore, one of the social ramifications is this Mizmor, that people are together. Let's try to identify some of the events that could be behind this Mizmor. So one is Moshe and Aaron themselves. The Gemara in Horios, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, tells us that based on this pasuk in our Mizmor, Kashem Atov Yored Ad Zakan, it told us there was something unusual that happened. That is that both a king and a high priest, a Kohen Gadol, are anointed with Shemen HaMishcha, with a certain type of oil. And when Aaron was anointed, what happened was there were two drops of oil which were suspended at the end of Aaron's beard. And what happened was that when he would speak, then the Shemen would recede to the roots of his beard. And Moshe Rabbeinu was concerned, maybe I wasted some of the oil when I anointed Aaron. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, no worries. That don't worry, just like the dew has there's no concern of having taken away from what was holy, similarly, you should have no concern as well. Aaron himself was concerned, the Gemara says, that maybe it wasn't Moshe Rabbeinu's problem, it was maybe he himself, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Hinei Ma'atov Umanoim Sheves Achim Gam Yachad. You didn't do Me'ilah, Moshe Rabbeinu did not do Me'ilah, nobody misused this special oil to anoint Aaron. Very strange Gemara, very unusual how we to interpret this. It sounds like both of them are concerned about their own portfolio, about their own specific actions. However, it's understood to mean that there's even more to this. What is this Gemara really getting at? And that is, as the Chidah quotes a Midrash which says, that Kol Makom Shema Ishenemar Hinei Hu Simcha. Whenever the Torah uses the word hine, behold, it refers to simcha. Why? Shenemar hine hu yotze likrosecha v'ra'acha v'samach b'liboy. He will come out and he is going to be so happy when he sees you. Is referring to when Aaron was told about Moshe's appointment as the leader of the nation of Israel as he returned to Egypt as the Redeemer. He's going to come out and he's going to be happy. And that's why it says at the beginning of our Mizmor, Hine Matov Umanoim, that behold, isn't it wonderful to see brothers dwelling together? Simcha Rabba Kashiesh Yichud Kutcha Brichu. It is wonderful when you have this unity, which is ultimately the unity of Hashem. That means to say that more than just simply a conversation about where these drops of oil came from, this is really a discussion about, can a person be happy on another person's behalf? Can you be happy that somebody else is succeeding? Can you be happy when your own brother is succeeding? It is interesting that at the beginning of Parshas Va'era, there is a description of Moshe and Aaron, and it's fascinating. It describes how this is in Pasuk Vav, Chof Vav, it says, Hu Aaron u'Moshe. It was him, Aaron, and Moses, Asher Omar Hashem Lohem, who Hashem told them to bring out the nation of Israel. Two psukim later, it says, Hu Moshe v'Aaron. It is Moses and Aaron. It flips the order. At first it says Aaron and Moshe. The second time around, the next pasuk, it says Moshe and Aaron. And Rashi already comments on this, and it tells us that they were shekulim. Lomar l'cho sheshekulim ke'echad. They were seen of equal value. What does that mean? They are equal value. Moshe Rabbeinu was the prophet. Aaron was the interpreter. So if you look carefully, Rav Avram Rivlin, who was the Mashgiach in Keren B'Yavne for many, many years, points out a very, very fascinating point. Is that when it puts Aaron first, to Aaron and Moshe, it refers to the concept of when Hashem spoke to them. Asher Omar Hashem Lohem Hotzios B'nei Yisrael Mitzrayim. When it puts Moshe in front, who Moshe Aaron, it's referring to the section of Haim Hamadabrim El Paroi. They're the ones who speak to Pharaoh. Now it's fascinating because that's the opposite way around. When it comes to Hashem speaking to them in terms of prophecy, Moshe should be first, but actually Aaron is put first. When it comes to speaking to Pharaoh, we know that Aaron was the one who had oration as his skill. So really we should actually say that it was Moshe, it should be Aaron first, but Moshe is put first. And Rav Rodin argued that in each of their own eyes, the way they looked at each other was precisely that way. Even though, yes, it's true that Moshe Rabbeinu was great in prophecy and Aaron was great in oration, they looked at each other, that each of each other filled out the other half of the equation so much so that they felt that the only reason they could do what they were doing well was because the other person was doing what they did well as well. That is harmony. That's what this Mizmor is talking about, is being able to be happy with somebody else's success. There are other suggestions as to what this event could be behind this Mizmor. So for instance, it could be that it's referring to the anointing of a king. And it could be the anointing of David HaMelech, and therefore the Sheves Achim Gam Yachad refers to all of Israel, all the tribes of Israel for once being together. It could also be the anointing of Shlomo HaMelech, and the Sheves Achim could be referring to the brothers and the half-brothers of Shlomo HaMelech who did not become the king. It could be referring to the anointing of the Kohen Gadol as well, when all of Israel were there, because both the Kohen Gadol and the king were anointed. If we push it later into history, it could be that it's referring to Zerubbabel and Yeshua Kohen Gadol, the first leaders, the governor and the spiritual leader, the Kohen Gadol, who returned to Israel at the time of Shivat Zion, the time of the rebuilding of the second Beis Hamikdash, and it refers how the two can work in harmony. The political leader and the spiritual leader can work together, which was going to be the model for the entire time of the second Beis Hamikdash, through Yeshua and Zerubbabel, later on Ezra and Nehemiah, and even the way through the leaders, we're going to see the Zugois, there's going to be an Av Beis Din and a Nasi, there's going to be this partnership that the Achim can manage to work together. And finally, the Radak pushes this into the future, where it refers to Mashiach, and we're going to see the cooperation where Israel is going to come together, and perhaps that's the prerequisite for the Geula Asida itself. In considering the places in our davening this appears, the Amizmo does not appear in our davening per se, but one pasuk in the spotlight, and that is the last pasuk, which is a little bit enigmatic. Ketal Chermon Shiyered Al Harei Tzion, Ki Shom Tzivah Hashem Es Habrocha HaChaim Ad HaOlam. In the dew of Chermon that falls in the mountains of Zion, there the Lord ordained blessing and everlasting life. Now, just to understand, these are two geographic locations which are separate from one another. Chermon is the very large mountain found at the top of the Golan Heights, the northern end of the Golan Heights, which commands the entire area. And the Harei Tzion, the mountains of Zion, are down south. Those are in the Harei Yehuda, around Yerushalayim. So how are the two connected? It's not the same thing. So some of the Mephoshim break it up and says, no, it's referring to and. Like the dew on Hermon and the dew which is in Tzion. However, geographically speaking as well, there's another secret over here, and that is, is that when the clouds that are full of rain and full of precipitation come off the sea and they hit the Hermon, and there's snow and there's rain, that snow and that rain goes down into the springs and goes down into the rivers, which lead to the Kinneret and ultimately lead to the Jordan, and replenish the entire fertile crescent on the Israel side, is able to give the natural habitation that supports the ecosystem in Israel. So therefore, sometimes when the clouds are up north in the Golan Heights by the Hermon, it's actually impacting the entire land. And sometimes it's important to realize that when a leader succeeds, when a king, when a Kohen Gadol succeeds, that yes, it may be that the clouds are raining upon them, but all of us gain from it. All of us are equal shareholders. We all gain. It may not be equal in the sense that everybody's getting the same respect or the same red carpet, but it's equitable. We all have a space and place, and that's what this Mizmor is referring to. That's why this image is so appropriate at the end. Hinei matov umanoim sheves achim gam yochad. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.